This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 194 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 27, 2015. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, do you know what day it is today?
I do. It's the 27th. It's
I just gave it to you. Good job.
Yeah, it's the 12th birthday anniversary of the creation of WordPress.
Hurrah, hurrah. Yes, it is. So fantastic that it just happens to coincide with the recording day of WordPress Weekly. And it just so happens that we got one of the co-creators of the WordPress project itself on the show today to talk about it. And Marcus, why don't you go ahead and give us an introduction of who our guest is.
Yes, well, Matt Mullenweg, you are the co-creator of the open source WordPress.org software project and the CEO of Automattic, the parent company of WordPress.com. And Matt, the last time you were on the show was December 8th, 2013. So a lot of stuff's happened since then, but we're gearing up to find out what's been going on in the last 2 years. But thank you for appearing on today's show.
It's a pleasure.
So normally our questions are in chronological order, but I've decided that to take advantage of this opportunity and turn this into an Ask Matt Anything. So the questions will be here and there. We'll figure out. We'll just go from one to the next. And, of course, the first question I want to ask you is, because you're always traveling, where are you right now? Where are you doing the show from?
I'm in Dublin, Ireland.
And what brings you there? Is there a huge WordPress birthday party going on there?
There's a small party. I posted a picture of a cake. But I am here for the Sunday Business Post. Had me on the cover of their magazine for May, and their conference is today. So I'm here to speak, or tomorrow. So I'm here to speak at their conference.
Awesome. And on the subject of traveling, how much time do you spend a year inside of airports or in planes? How much time would you guess?
You know, I don't really notice because I'm really productive when I'm traveling, whether that is in the lobby or whether that's on the go. So it doesn't really, I don't really track it. I know last year I did about 425,000 miles of airplane travel. So it adds up, but yeah, to me it's all the same. There's either internet connection or there's no internet connection.
And so how do you tie all that together, just from being an entrepreneur and an executive and a manager of a pretty large company? What tools do you use to tie those things together to make sure that you're in constant communication and make sure the projects don't fall by the wayside while you're gone?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we use WordPress. So there's a theme you all know called P2 that we use inside of Automattic to communicate very extensively instead of email. And then the other tool that we've adopted a lot, and I was actually just at their Dublin office, is Slack.
And so that makes sense. And Slack's pretty cool because it gives you notifications even when you're offline and, you know, being part of the conversation is just a swipe away pretty much.
Yeah, and, you know, we've obviously adopted it for the WordPress project. Automattic's been using it internally a similar amount of time, and I'm pretty happy with the tool.
Do you prefer Slack communication over Skype?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay. So WordPress is 12 years old, and every time, this time of year, it's always a good time to reflect and look back. So, you know, what comes across your mind just thinking back over the last 12 years? Anything in particular? Have you had a chance to sit back and sort of reflect on the last 12 years?
I would say the only constant is change.
Yes.
It's just very easy to think of that the WordPress project in many ways today is indistinguishable, or it's impossible to tell it's the same thing as what we did even 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, so many of the people have changed over the years, so many of the UI conventions, and now we're the actual core technology. And the ways we think about it are starting to change with things like a REST API. So all of this really, to me, has what kept it exciting and fresh. So even though in theory, I've been working on this one thing for 12 years. It really doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like every day I wake up to something new.
So what do you think will happen once WordPress reaches that renegade teenager age of 13? Are we all going to be in trouble?
Ooh, adolescence. Yeah, you know, that's also where, as humans, we start to become adults, right? Like, start to find our sea legs and figure out what things we really love and we can do.
Maybe at that point we can start to say WordPress has matured or is maturing. I'm not sure. Some people already believe it's already happened, but I think we've still got a ways to go.
We definitely still have a ways to go, but I've always loved the Joel Spolsky quote. And I talked about this even from the early days of WordPress. And you know, the first couple of years I would give, when I would speak, I would say, you know, Joel Spolsky says it takes 10 years to make great software, and we're only 3 years in, and we're only 5 years in. Well, now we're 12 years in. And I think around the 10th year was when WordPress really became great. And now we're building on that and kind of going from strength to strength.
And when WordPress was created, I was only 19 years old. I think you and I are about the same age. So 19 years old, not even old enough to get a beer at a work came after party. But it's I just the other day, I think MySQL, the database language, turned 20 years old, and there's been some other notable technology-related birthdays the past couple weeks. But you know, WordPress being an open source project, I think it's unbelievable that it's lasted for this long, and I only say that because it takes quite the effort and quite the nucleus and a lot of support characters to make a open source project last, you know, for a year or two. But WordPress has done that as one of the few, or you know, to last this long.
I would interject to say that most open source projects last. Like you can still download PHP Nuke if you wanted to, or TextPattern, or you know, Bblog, or any of those, but do they thrive over a long period of time? To me, that's what is really hard.
So a couple of people wanted to know, throughout the last 12 years, what have been some of your most rewarding moments as they relate to WordPress?
Ooh.
Marcus, I think we got him.
Maybe so.
Well, it's just hard to choose.
I mean, right.
A lot of the memories that come to mind when you say that did involve WordCamps, mm-hmm. or different times when I got to meet WordPress users in person. And that's always exciting to hear the stories, especially, you know, as the year goes on, like the people who've now been working with WordPress for 5 or 10 years is getting larger, folks for whom it's had a significant impact on their ability to have a livelihood. You know, people who, when they started working with WordPress, their kids were in elementary, and now they're sending them to college on the money they made from it. So, you know, seeing that kind of circle is incredibly rewarding. And it's been, you know, fun stuff for me personally as well. Like last year in December, I got an honorary doctorate from a university in Argentina. And so that was pretty fun.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, just things like that can be pretty interesting and exciting.
You know, one of my favorite memories of WordPress throughout the last 12 years is back in 2008, WordCamp Dallas 2008 was the first time I got the chance to meet you, and you just had your wisdom teeth pulled.
Yeah.
And, it was with your mom and I believe your sister.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first and I believe last time, probably ever, that a major version of WordPress will be released during a presentation at a WordCamp. That was WordPress 2.5.
Yeah, I think we've done that at least one other time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it certainly wasn't after 2.5, I don't think.
That's true. That might have been the main one. But yeah, we press the button during you know what? I'm probably thinking of other things, because sometimes we try to press the button during the State of the Word talk.
Oh, okay.
So, but that's been for other things, like often a WordPress.org feature or something like that.
So the last time you were on the show, like we mentioned back in 2013, we were initially discussing the automatic fighting back against DMCA takedown abuse. And at that time, I think Automatic and its lawyers were going to stand up with Oliver Hotham and go against the court battle and try and take down this abuser. And it turns out that Automatic and Oliver Hotham won the case. So I was wondering, know, are you pretty happy about the outcome of that case despite the opposing party not fighting back?
Yeah, I think anytime you can win a battle on the half of what's right, on the side of what's right, especially what's right for freedom and freedom of speech and users, then that's a good day, regardless of how much of a fight there was on the other side.
It's just sort of disappointing. I think it was great to see that Automattic won, but you know, I read a lot of comments that were poo-pooing the case, saying, well, the other guy didn't even have a chance or didn't even fight back, so this means nothing. But I think it does mean something.
And how often does that happen, Matt, where there's not just that lawsuit, but, I mean, as a company as large as Automattic and how big WordPress.com is, how many litigations do you see that kind of cross your path or cross your desk every year? Is it a lot? Just frivolous, stupid stuff?
Oh, it's probably 10 plus per week, actually.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, this is why we have full-time legal counsel and things like that. But the ones that matter, you know, most of those are, like you said, frivolous or unimportant. The ones that matter, we definitely, pull all our resources to bear, too. Like, you remember the thesis case a few years ago, for example.
Oh, yes. How could we forget? Talk about a memorable moment in WordPress history.
Very much so. The whole GPL, you asked about a happy moment. Like, when Brian and the other theme shops started going 100% GPL, like, that was very, very happy for me. And then I was even happier when, their businesses actually ended up thriving. They ended up doing better than before. So those sorts of things are... there's so many different episodes, and often it's the things that were the most contentious or the biggest source of stress at the time that become the things I look back at fondly as a time when WordPress's mettle was really tested and we rose to the occasion.
Yeah, and speaking of history and memorable moments, back in March on the Tavern, we wrote about an update to the WordPress history book that was being written and authored by Siobhan McCune, and she said it would probably be ready within a month, but I haven't seen any news on the book. Do you have any status updates on the history book and when it might be available?
Yeah, I'd encourage people to check it out on GitHub. So you can actually read it today, and it is a very full product. There's some copy editing, and we're just trying to get some more feedback on it right now as well. I think because perhaps of the format of it on GitHub, not that many people have actually gone through it yet. But I think if we can get, you kind of only have one opportunity to do a first version of a book. So, and because it's all open anyway, the more eyes we can get on it, the better. In fact, Jeff, it'd be awesome if you took a look at it.
Yes, I've been wanting to do that. I've been waiting for the book, but I should go through there because I actually... not too long ago, I did my first pull request on GitHub, and actually sent in some edits to Siobhan when I read the chapter that, I read the one that had my name in it. I got that one read, but I have to read the rest of it, and I was helping her out. But I think it would be really cool. Do you know if there's going to be any physical print editions or physical copies? I'd love to own one. Maybe I'll have to print one out.
Even if it's limited edition, we're definitely going to do some special copies. I've been thinking about some things we could do there to make it, the print really cool, or put in some high quality photo prints from some of the 20 theme pictures, 2010, 2011, 2012. So there's some things we could do to make it kind of cool.
And you definitely got to get a physical copy and put it in the Automattic Lounge there on Hawthorne.
The library.
Yes, the library.
But if and when we print it out, it will be a work of art in and of itself.
And the Oxford comma will be in the correct places. So, Marcus, we were briefly talking about lawsuits. I know you had a question sort of on that line, something to do with the show Silicon Valley.
Yeah, do you watch Silicon Valley, the HBO show at all, Matt?
I have, but I haven't seen the new season yet.
Oh, okay. Well, when I see it, it kind of reminds me of you, sort of. Just not the main character, really, but just the premise of it.
Is this the guy that goes out in the desert and does mushrooms?
No, not that guy. Not that guy.
Oh, no.
Because I cut my hair. I don't know if you've seen, but it's...
I have. just in the sense of, you know, I imagine that there are probably so many evil forces at work in Silicon Valley that try and corrupt you and try and, you know, just pitch you endless ideas and things like that. You know, maybe buyouts or, you know, I don't know what you run into on a daily basis. But how do you kind of maintain your sanity in a world that's so, you know, in a region that's so kind of driven on money and seeding and venture capital and all that? And how do you kind of keep your head above water there?
You know, the show might dramatize it a little bit.
Well, okay.
It's kind of like that. If you watch The Wire, it's like, how do you live in Baltimore?
Or, right. You know, right.
In reality, I find Silicon Valley to be overwhelmingly a very positive place and a very optimistic place. And I think why the show has been so good is it satirizes some of the really honest and earnest, you know, just sort of worldview optimism that is prevalent in the Valley, and among technologists in general. You know, Automattic is definitely testament to you can have a Silicon Valley without someone ever stepping foot in California, because we sort of have a virtual one between all the folks who collaborate inside Automattic. So there's, but that spirit of optimism that technology can make things better, and also sometimes they make fun of it, rightly so, that technology can solve almost any problem. People who work in technology often feel that way. It's overall actually a pretty fun way to live, and it forces you to look at things. You know, when you realize that all the devices you use and all the websites and everything like that was built by someone just like you. You know, they didn't have extra arms or extra legs or they didn't need special education, or they could educate themselves purely on the internet. Like, it sort of creates this equality of opportunity and this realization that, oh wow, the world isn't just something I have to accept as it comes to me. It's something I could change and craft and start to build my own version of it. And, you know, open source is very much in that ethos, the scratch your own itch of open source contributors, or just the idea that in the world we're creating, we want the code to be free and accessible to all those who are living in it. I mean, that's about as Silicon Valley as an idea as you can get. So I wouldn't say it's hard at all. And then two, I don't spend too much time there anymore. I'm mostly in Texas or New York. So between those two, just don't see as much of the same stuff.
Yeah, and to me, I look at that, and the way you illustrate it is absolutely correct. But I also look at it as so illustrating some of the higher functions that any of us developers would have, which is, when there are things out there, whether that be through the web or through mobile platforms or otherwise, some of the best features that we take so much for granted were probably arguments and development paths and versioning and things like that, that we just have no idea of. And all of those things exist within the development cycle that we should probably be a little bit more aware of.
Totally. And like I just said to Jeff, like, you know, check out the book and change it.
Yeah, you know? Right.
It's like one of these things that it's the more people who get involved, the sooner we can get it out there.
So WordPress is used on 23.9% of the web, according to W3Tech. That's the one I watch. But since I'm feeling generous and it's WordPress's birthday, I'm going to round it up to 24.
Oh, thank you. Hopefully you won't have to be generous for many more days.
Right.
Catch up with that.
So it's one percentage point away from being able to say WordPress powers a quarter of the web. Now, just hearing that, maybe even seeing that, what emotions do you feel when you hear and see those market share numbers?
I feel like we got 75% to go.
And let me guess, Jetpack is going to help you get there.
I think every plugin in the WordPress ecosystem is going to help us get there.
Great answer.
It's true.
Between April and May, as I've written and covered the WordPress ecosystem for several years now, but April and May was some of the craziest times I've seen WordPress go through where there is a critical bug fix. WordPress 4.2 was released. There were a couple of security releases, and then there's a large collaborative effort to fix a security issue inside of several popular plugins. The Tavern did very well that week, by the way. Record traffic levels, so, I mean, we sort of benefited from that. But how do you think WordPress, the project, weathered through that storm? That was pretty crazy.
You know, like I said, it's the times of adversity that really show you what the community is made of. And I was very proud of a lot of the action of many volunteers on the WordPress security side, on the WordPress documentation side, the translation side. You know, lots of folks came together to make those issues that, while they were very serious, we don't really have a lot of reports of them being exploited in the wild because we're able to get the fixes out there so quickly. And you know, the auto-update system is certainly one of the, probably the biggest deal thing we've done in the past 5 years for WordPress. Bigger than custom post types, bigger than anything else. And that really shown, you know, the fact that we can get a really good chunk of all WordPresses or plugins.
So what
disclosed and released.
So, one of the interesting things about all of that is over the years there's been discussions about WordPress having a long-term security release or long-term type of version where you could backport vulnerabilities or patches. And it turns out through all these different sort of point release updates, they were able to push them back automatically back to the 3.7 branch, and because that's when automatic updates ended up in WordPress, so you were able to substantially update several websites over all those different versions thanks to 3.7 adding that automatic update system. That was interesting to notice.
There's actually something, I actually have some news for y'all, so we can break some news on here.
All right.
May 22nd was basically when 4.2 passed up 4.1 in usage. This is an interesting because it's about a month from the release date. So if you look at it, it only took about a month for the new release to pass up the release just prior in terms of the number of sites running it, which is very, very exciting. In the past, that would take us much, 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 much longer.
Well, and one of the reasons why you might be seeing it is because there are some major changes done to the way the WordPress.org project accumulates these stats. Now they're a lot of sites that haven't been pinged in a while, they've disregarded, and now they're really only concerned with certain versions or more recent releases, which I guess gives you more accurate stats on version use.
Well, we track everything back to 3.0, but we do just have better... We trim the database better in terms of determining what's actually active in things. I think we can still get better there, which is why we don't publish, you know, exact numbers, because I don't really think the exact numbers are accurate. But yeah, good progress there already. But it's been a good year for WordPress.org. You talked about a bunch of.
Yeah, it cut out for a while there when you were telling us about how it's been a good year for WordPress.org.
That was pretty much what I was saying.
Well, on that front, as long as we're talking about updates and things, at State of the Word last year, you had mentioned that there was going to be an effort to work together with some of the most prominent hosts out there to get people sort of up to speed as far as their version of WordPress. Can you share any progress that's been made on that front?
I think that the installation numbers I just talked about, mm-hmm. and that basically 1 month till 4.2 becoming a majority, is part of that. So with a lot of the hosts, including the partner ones like Bluehost, Dreamhost, etc., what they do now is often when someone contacts them for support, they make sure that when they upgrade their site, they can auto-upgrade in the future. All the file permissions are correct, everything like that, which is pretty amazing.
So they've made that just a part of their workflow when it comes to customer service.
Yeah. That's also they proactively scan for things. They're blocking problems like the genericums problem we had the other day. They're blocking that at the server level so their customers aren't affected. So I've seen the hosts get a lot more savvy than they used to be. And There's still space to go there, but it's been impressive, the progress already.
So something sort of the most obvious question we have to ask you, in fact, I hear that internally at your town hall meetings for Automattic, people have asked you this question. So what's the status of WordCamp USA?
Oh, yeah, there's nothing update yet. I'm actually waiting for, we want to do a call for proposals, kind of like Europe does. And I've just been waiting on, the WordCamp team here to get that together for me.
All right, Marcus, I teed it up for you. I want you to give Matt your proposal on where you think WordCamp USA should be held. Oh, man, did I lose Marcus?
No. I will tell you the best pitch I've heard so far is at Pressnomics. You might have been there for it.
Yes, I was there for it.
Yeah, they made an amazing pitch for Phoenix. And it was pretty impressive. They talked about how, we could get the downtown center, they'd have support of the local governments, and you can train from the airport. Everything's within a small radius, lots of exhibition space. So, if I had to say who's the front runner right now, it's Phoenix, but they are also the only people who have pitched me. So they are both in first and last place.
I know that Marcus has been making the case on why it should be in Vegas because of the cheap airfare. They're used to holding thousands of people type of conferences, hotels by the dozen. You could probably get cheap deals on blocks of hotel rooms. He just thinks Vegas, you can't go wrong with Vegas.
You can actually go extremely wrong with Vegas. But hopefully we could mostly stay out of trouble.
A lot of people initially, when they heard the idea of a WordCamp USA, thought Houston. Why not Houston? The birthplace of Matt Mulewag. Why not? Is it Houston you think maybe on the table? Or?
Man, I would love to put Houston on the table. But the one thing we're doing is we're trying to put it someplace where there's an active WordCamp community already, which means there's an active meetup community, because we want to reward the communities that have done the most. WordPress is one of the cities. They had a WordCamp a few years ago, but there is not an active. There hasn't been one in a few years. So, but they would have a strong boost, certainly in my mind, if they were able to get some more regular WordCamps going. They'd definitely be a contender.
Man, I bet you if we did it in Houston, we'd get some good catered barbecue.
Yeah, pretty much. And there's a lot of places now. I was actually just at an event over the weekend where there were four top barbecue chefs from around the country. One from Chicago. It was Charlie McKenna from Lily Q's. Fella Baby Blues from L.A. Sam Harris from Atlanta. And then a fella from Queens in New York. A place called John Brown. And it was all really good. Like, any of those were working worthy. So,
was it as good or better than Otto's Barbecue?
Ooh, yeah. It was right up there. I don't want to diss Otto's Barbecue. Unless you're having it side by side, you can't really compare either.
So, in light of Automattic's acquisition of Woo Themes, which we're definitely going to get into a bit here, can you... Some of the people have asked you the question. I've seen you discuss several times before in the past about your position on commercial plugins, which is different than commercial themes. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to reiterate your position or philosophy on commercial plugins to our audience.
Sure. I've never been opposed to commercial plugins. It's just often what people ask me when they ask about that is... can we sell commercial plugins through WordPress.org? Have like an app store on WordPress.org? Sometimes I get a variation of the same thing for themes, but not as often. And I've always been fairly against that, both for some of the things it would encourage. Right now, plugin authors often work together. With commercial plugins, it doesn't happen as much. Because there's incentive to kind of do your own thing versus collaborate with other people who are already authors. It's just the incentive changed quite a bit when things are commercial. And two, just the overhead and complexity of selling really anything on WordPress.org. You notice even our swag store goes someplace else. Because once you start dealing with credit cards and returns, you know, chargebacks, everything. It becomes a huge support burden. I mean, at Automattic, for example, there's at least 30, 35 happiness engineers who work basically just on store stuff. So it really adds up quickly.
Just on the swag and merchandise store, 35 people?
No, that's just on, when we say store, we talk about the upgrades.
Oh, gotcha. So again,
you don't even have to worry about shipping. These are just digital upgrades.
Wow. And I believe, you know, when it comes to models, I know you mentioned the lack of collaboration between the commercial plugins. It usually doesn't happen, at least in more of the closed ones. But that also led to something you don't, when it comes to value on these plugins, something dealing with scarcity, you don't like sort of promoting this idea of scarcity with a commercial plugin?
Sure. So when you think about what's made WordPress successful is that it really embraces the economics of abundance, meaning that it becomes more valuable the more copies there are of it, right? Which is different. Like if you have a print of a famous photograph or a Picasso print, it becomes less valuable the more copies there are of it. So it's kind of counterintuitive in that it works actually the opposite of how the physical world works. With themes, there's inherent value in scarcity because you want a design that not everyone else has, right? Even if it's, you know, you customize it, you still want something out of the box that feels different than other people's. However, plugins, generally, I think, get majority of the value through abundance, just like WordPress does. But some of them are on a paid-only model. So you, to even get access to the plugin, you buy it from the store as kind of the default way to get it, you know, assuming that you're not getting it from some other site. But, like, you go to the store and you pay the developer for it, which is great and probably makes more money in the short term, but trades off growth and user base and potentially wider impact and potentially wider value for the sort of short-term hit. So you end up with, within, like, maybe the first couple of years, a more lucrative but smaller user base.
Yeah, and some of the commercial plugins out there are now doing this model where, and I think EDD comes to mind, and Nick Haskins with Lasso, he's experimenting with this, where they put the code, the commercial plugin available on GitHub in order to get more developers to work on it, but it's free. I mean, if you knew where to get it, if you wanted to be a customer, you can get it for free, but it's almost as if they're trying out this like honor system for commercial plugins. Have any thoughts on that model?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly plugins are 100% GPL. It's much harder to make the argument that they shouldn't be. So you've always been able to get these things for free. The question is that, you know, the folks who are going to, like, go through that work and avoid paying you probably were never going to pay you in the first place.
You know? Right.
It's the folks who pirate proprietary software, too. You know, they pirate Photoshop or they pirate, you know, Duke Nukem 3D. Might be showing my age there. As those are two things I probably pirated when I was a young kid. But folks who are serious about their business and about yours are going to, of course, want to pay it because you're providing value to them. And then it just becomes a question of, are you providing a value equal or greater than the dollar amount that you're requesting? And if so, a rational person will absolutely pay you. So.
And in your interview earlier this year with Matt Medeiros, you and him discussed this idea, and a lot of other people have seen this idea of, why can't we turn WordPress.org, the plugin directory, into a marketplace or attach a marketplace to it where you can sell commercial themes and discuss, or sort of like the Apple App Store, but these are plugins, not really apps. And I know one thing you said is, A, you always want to have the WordPress plugin directory have nothing but free plugins, and B, of course, all the other issues you just mentioned about the collaborative effort and some of the models that are involved with that you really don't want to get involved with.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that there's no commercial stuff on there. It's just it's all free. So, for example, you know, if you downloaded the YouTube plugin or a Google AdSense plugin, yes, AdSense in particular, you're going to make Google money when you use that plugin. But the plugin itself, they didn't try to charge you $5 for or $3 for. You know, it was part of the expectation of things you get from WordPress.org, which is that they should be of a similar freeness to WordPress itself.
So I had an idea, and I just want to throw this by, and I don't know if it's within the guidelines of plugins for the plugin directory, but maybe let's say I have a plugin out there, and instead of people donating to me, they click an option that allows their web server to mine bitcoins for me that goes into my account. You know, and that's, I don't know, does that sound bad to you? Not that I'm working on it or anything.
I think, you know, as long as these things are super opt-in.
Right.
It could be interesting. I don't know if it would be as economical for both, you know, how people generally pay for their hosting. If it's a shared host, that would probably get shut down pretty quickly, for example.
Yeah. And do you see the evolution of the repository as a whole, as far as what's not there yet that should be there?
Oh, that's a good question. Let me say one more thing on the Bitcoin, since I love Bitcoin so much, though. It's the economics of mining with non-dedicated chips, either GPU-based or dedicated for Bitcoin mining. It's not worth it anymore. It generates so, so little in comparison. Mm. The economics have shifted.
Wow.
So you asked what should be in the directory that isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? More feature plugins. And yeah. More people using them. Even the REST API. I mean, we're talking about 10, 20,000 users, active sites using it. So I think that this is one of the bits. Since MP6, really, we haven't had a feature plugin that really got super wide usage. And I think that's just you lose some of the advantage of having a plugin in the first place.
Well, I've talked about the feature plugins first model, and I've wrote about it on the Tavern how I thought it was how it was broken, and MP6 sort of laid the groundwork as to how it should run, and it just seemed to sort of fall apart because I think the people running or creating the feature plugins needed a lot of help in terms of project management and having someone there to shepherd it and make sure that everything was aligned so that it could easily merge in the core. And I do want to give a shout out to Drew Janes, who led the release of WordPress 4.2, he seemed to make some changes that really improved the structure for both that release cycle for feature plugins and what Constantine's going to work with in 4.3. I was appreciative to see the work he did to make it the whole organization of that idea better.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, Drew did, I think it was actually a fantastic release. It started off a little slow, and then it turned into something really nice. And the key is just keeping that momentum. Because in 3.8, we had a lot of plugin stuff as well. It's easy to fall back into the old way of doing things, especially if you have direct commit access to the core repo.
So let's see. One thing I wanted to touch on here before we get into some of the WooCommerce stuff is Sarah Gooding, who you know, I know, and wrote an excellent article earlier this week on the Japanese WordPress community and how it's helped shape WordPress's history. It was a great article, and in that article, there were two major barriers that were mentioned, and one of them was time zones, and the other was the language barrier. And Marcus and I had a discussion about this, where there's a lot of people in the Japanese community that want to contribute to WordPress core and help shape it, WordPress's future instead of its history, but what do you think the WordPress project can do to make it easier for, you know, communities like the Japanese WordPress community to contribute and help shape WordPress's direction and future? And what happened?
Sorry.
There we go.
The question was so good, it just took up all the bandwidth.
What happened?
I think I lost you at the part where you were like, how do they shape WordPress's future and not just the history?
Right, right. So what could the WordPress project do, whether that's track or whatever, to help them overcome these two barriers? Although time zones, I don't think you can overcome the time zone barrier, but there's the language barrier, and you know, they just want to, they're anxious and want to contribute and help shape WordPress's future, but it seems those barriers are too high for them right now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think what I hope to happen is that as we get more of our language stuff on point, and you saw, actually, you all posted about how the language directories are just now coming online on the language subdomains. So filtered plugin directories, filtered theme directories, you know, as those become more and more prevalent, because right now basically how 99% of plugins work is they're written in English and they get translated to other languages. How amazing would it be to have like one of the top 10 plugins in the WordPress world natively be Japanese or natively be, you know, Spanish or something like that? And then, you know, us who speak English need the translation file.
Yeah. That would be great. That would be awesome. I know Marcus, we were talking about this. He says he would love to go to, like, the Spanish plugin directory and check out the feature plugins net directory, and even though he might understand what's going on, just see them and check them out.
Yeah, one of my favorite plugins is actually in Dutch, and I had to watch the YouTube video on how they set it up to figure out exactly what it did, and I still don't understand. I've had to do Google Translate on a couple things to figure it out, but I still use this. It's a shortcode creator, and it works wonderfully. But I am looking forward to the day where I can review Japanese plugins and talk about their functionality. Absolutely.
Totally.
So WooCommerce is the second product within the WordPress ecosystem to be acquired since BuddyPress, which was kind of like an acqui-hire back in 2008. But Automattic has this history of sticking with services or turning products into services that are platform agnostic. What parts of WooCommerce do you see fitting into the software as a service model?
That's a very good question. I mean, an obvious one that there's been a lot of demand for. It's just a version of WooCommerce that you can get started with a click or two. So, I mean, that's an easy and interesting service that could be provided. But when you get further down the road, I mean, there's a lot of possibilities. And we haven't, you know, it's going to be the Woo team that's driving that, drawing on some of the expertise that Automattic had building web services. So I'm very curious to see what they come up with, whether that's making payment gateways easier or, you know, bundles for different countries. I mean, there's some stuff there that could be pretty cool.
And I know that one of the things I was thinking about today is what if you take, you know, all of the best stuff in WooCommerce, you turn it into a service, then what happens? Does a WooCommerce product just disappear? But then I was thinking that would be a bad idea because of the market share and all those websites that rely on it. So I could see a situation where it's sort of like the WordPress and the WordPress multi-site model that WordPress.com and .org kind of share, where you have WooCommerce, the product for self-hosted sites, but then you take a lot of that stuff and concurrent development adds on to the WordPress.com side of things. I wonder if that's a scenario that could play out.
In theory, I think that, yeah, the type of folks who use Woo and how they use Woo isn't really compatible with the WordPress.com model right now, because it's so much about the plugins and add-ons and the right customization that people have. If you just want a hosted store without as much customization, I mean, there is already Shopify.
We lost you at Shopify.
Oh, whoops. I was just saying that, you know, it is very true that the teams at Woo and Automattic are extremely complementary. And as we get some folks working, some cross-pollination there, I think that it'll be pretty powerful. And I think just in the plugin side of WooCommerce,
man, this is improvements. This is crazy. It is really, it's getting really bad now. It's like everybody's turning into a robot on the show.
Oh no, I apologize.
It's okay. So, well, I'll ask this, Matt. I mean, as somebody who deals with clients regularly as far as e-commerce and implementing WooCommerce and things, and I don't know what, you know, what edict there is as far as direction or anything like that, or if it's just something where you're just going to kind of let them go on their own as they've been. But, you know, we always talk about WordPress is easy, yet for the new user, it's sometimes deathly complicated. And then you inject something like WooCommerce into that, and it becomes even more of a daunting nightmare, even just to get fulfillment out or just to get, you know, a section where a normal person in a warehouse can look at the orders that came in. Are there kind of plans to simplify it at all, or is that something that you just haven't really considered yet?
Yeah, I think we're always considering that.
Yeah.
And that's the art of software development, is how can you streamline things? I don't like to think of it as removing things or simplifying things, but really how do you streamline it so that the powerful functionality is faster to do and the simple things are more intuitive.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, for WooCommerce, just as a pain point, that's one of the biggest problems is when you create something for a client, you don't want to have to teach everybody at the company how to use WordPress and log in just to make things happen as far as from a commerce perspective. So hopefully going forward, the team that will be handling WooCommerce and some of the engineers will pay mind to that fact, at least.
Oh, definitely. I think it's something they've been working on as well. Just e-commerce is pretty intrinsically complex.
Right.
And so it's not something that lends itself to simplification, which is part of why the third-party ecosystem is so cool, that you can sort of mix and match these plugins to create something that's completely bespoke for you.
So after news that WooCommerce was acquired by Automattic, what did you think when so many people just automatically assumed, oh no, it's going to turn into a Jetpack module?
Oh, I think most people were joking about that. I don't know if there are that many people who
I don't know.
Are seriously thought
I don't
it.
Know.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's the whole Jetpack thing.
No, Jetpack's getting faster with every release, actually. So adding, you know, several megabytes of code would slow it down a little bit. So that goes in the wrong direction.
I mean, it doesn't make sense for me, but does it make sense for you at some point somewhere for Jetpack and WooCommerce to work together, or one could be complementary to the other?
It can absolutely be complementary. Much like in the same way that Jetpack enables infinite scroll for themes that support it. Right? It can provide some APIs or some hooks. It could be really useful for not just WooCommerce, but other plugins and themes. So that is definitely happening. Photon, for example. If you choose a different theme and you need entirely new thumbnails for all your products, Photon can do that on the fly and at a really high quality. So there's lots of uses for it. It's just a matter of listening to WooCommerce users for where they want things to be enhanced or what are their pain points.
Huh. So when Automattic was acquired, nobody freak out there. That came out wrong. April Fools, everyone.
Jeff, do you know there's an embargo?
Thanks. That was set up. So when Automattic acquired CloudUp, which is a really cool file sharing and hosting service in 2013, the team was tasked with revamping the post editor and replacing the media library on WordPress.com with CloudUp, and I remember reading the TechCrunch article. This stuck in my mind. You hinted at using the technology to provide Google Docs-like simultaneous real-time editing capabilities within the post editor, and neither of these initiatives have materialized, so I just want to know what happened.
This is where you're good. Jeffro. So we stopped working on that.
Did it get intense debated?
We did a lot of really awesome UI improvements to the editor and did some things we were very excited about. But because we weren't working on a tiny MCE base, just some of the basic editing stuff was really, really, really hard. So it took call it 6 months to get to the 80%, and then we spent another, year and a half on just getting to, 85%. So it was definitely tougher. There was lots of rabbit holes there and lots of hidden complexity. So that team is now working on some different things within Automattic in terms of particularly around some data stuff. So looking at how we re-engage people, how we keep people more, change the onboarding process and how we do emails and things like that to keep people, help people become successful when they try to start a site. And we did open source all the work we've done so far is on GitHub, and let me see the name.
Is that a form of a plugin?
It is. Hold on. I'm going to have to search for it. I forget what we called it, but because we think it's actually really valuable from an educational point of view. It's the way that we architected the JavaScript there. We learned a ton, and we think it's actually a good model for lots of JavaScript projects going forward.
And as most of us know, at least I know, the future of the web definitely is heavily, at least in the near future, is heavily JavaScript, going to be JavaScript-based. So there's that. But CloudOut, man, it's just a really cool service.
If you're listening to this now and you're a developer, you should be learning JavaScript as fast as possible.
And there's all sorts of trends and statistics and reports out there that back that up.
Yep. So the editor is called ZEditor. So you can go to github.com/automatic/ZEditor and see some really interesting and cool code.
And C as in Cloud Up or Z as in Zenith?
Z as in Zenith.
Oh, okay. ZEditor.
I got something
to take on later. All right, go ahead, Marcus.
Jeff and I had a guy named Wade Porter on the show maybe a month or two ago, and he's the CEO and the creator of Zapier, which is something that kind of bridges different services, different components together. For instance, you can take WooCommerce and go straight to Salesforce or Infusionsoft and things like that. And really what that did is made things like Gravity Forms and all that be able to have 400 other services that it could talk to. How do you see WordPress as far as integration into other things is advancing? I mean, are there going to be inherent things that we'll be able to do a little bit better in newer versions? Or is that something that you're just relying maybe on plugins and maybe third-party services to take care of?
To be honest, right now, I'd say we're really relying on third-party services. Okay. So that's what I'm keeping my eye on right now, partly because, you know, especially when it gets into enterprise, super Salesforce-y stuff, it's not my passion. It's not something I even understand that well. So, you know, other folks leading that charge is probably better for everyone.
Yeah. Because, and even in circles, which is funny, like in the Salesforce circle and the Infusionsoft circle, they're all very intrigued by WordPress and what it can do. But a lot of those kind of salesy type people just get introduced to it through their platforms, which I find very intriguing that they just hadn't found out about it on their own. They found out it about through those third-party platforms. But it's definitely gaining traction throughout the business community, and I think as more and more of these third-party services integrate some of the most prominent plugins that we all know about, it's just going to grow even further.
Awesome.
One of the things that Marcus and I talked about last week that we wanted to bring up is we were talking about the WooThemes acquisition. So we're talking about 55 people spread across the globe and, I don't know, 17 countries or something to that effect, and we were talking about the fact that it's not no headquarters are shutting down. We're not seeing a whole bunch of employees relocating to San Francisco. Essentially, they had a structure and hierarchy that was very similar to what Automatic has, so the transition should be relatively smooth, and we just thought that was a neat observation to see that this company, WooThemes, was able to create, was very highly successful and yet had this hierarchy, and it was just kind of neat to see an acquisition of a major company but not see, the typical relocation, headquarters shuts down, and things of that nature. So is that like in part, is that what we're going to see more and more of, or with the whole distributed work concept?
Well, and this is honestly part of the reason why we talk a lot about Automax culture and how we do the things we do and why we do the things we do. Because we think this is the future of work and more companies should work like this. And it is true that if we ever decide to partner with or buy a company, if they're distributed as well, it's a very, very natural transition for everyone involved. Where us buying a non-distributed something would definitely be tougher.
So the old days of people packing up their boxes in the offices and migrating to a new place, now it's just come down to absorbing a Slack channel, right?
I mean, literally, there was, we did this group town hall last week on Wednesday, and we had 55 new people on the automatic Slack.
Yeah, and that's amazing to me that it can happen that fast and the transition can be that smooth and seamless. And that's a testament to, what you've done within the company culture and what others have done, to follow you. And I think that that's a trend that's going to continue. And I don't know if anybody caught the subtleties out there, but if you want Matt to acquire your company, you better get on Slack.
No, I think if you want to increase your odds of getting acquired, A, you have a good product, and you live in Antarctica.
That is right. Absolutely true. I would buy any software out of Antarctica.
Just so you could say Automatic is covered across the world now.
But it's also, to give props to where they do there, I think it's a testament to Automatic ops team. Behind the scenes, because Automatic is a product itself, and the ops people are like the sysadmins and the developers behind how Automatic functions smoothly. So their work on HR, on legal, or even how expense reports work, everything like that, is really kind of the glue that holds the organization together.
And then I want to talk to you about the mobile side of things. How, we talked a lot as far as in State of the Word and the fact that mobile is becoming the dominant presence as far as even surpassing desktop usage in some instances in some regions throughout the world. How are we coming along as far as progression with mobile? I know for me personally, it's a platform that I would love to use constantly as far as creating content. It's just, it's not simple enough yet. It's not like Facebook where I can just pop a photo up and it just doesn't seem to have that natural flow to it. How are we making progress on that?
Well, the biggest change, and what I'd encourage you to try out if you haven't yet, is getting the WYSIWYG editors on mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So we have it on iOS. It's coming to Android. That has a huge, huge impact. And for me, it completely changed the flow, especially of photos. Because before you choose a photo, like that part was pretty good, but then it puts in a bunch of HTML.
Right.
It was really ugly. And so if you haven't tried in a while, I'd encourage you to really spend some time with the mobile apps, especially when they're hooked up to WordPress.com, so you get all of those features, all the Jetpack stuff. Uh-huh. And see how they work for you. Like, really dig into the notifications, dig into the reader. I think you'll find that it's come a long, 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 long way. And in fact, the ratings of the mobile app.
Yeah, the WYSIWYG in the WordPress mobile app for iOS is one of the best features it's had in a very, very long time. And I also appreciate the updates that have taken place with the stats, and I can't wait to see those enhanced stats pages on the Jetpack version of WordPress.com stats.
Oh, definitely.
Really cool stuff. So every session on the WordPress REST API that I've attended at WordCamps across the country, it's been standing room only. I haven't seen this many people anxious to learn this development topic in a long time. Or maybe it's because I don't go to the dev sessions at WordCamps. However, many people, developers, consider this like the shot in the arm that the project needs if WordPress needed a shot in the arm. Is the hype surrounding this API justified? Will it revolutionize WordPress in ways that we can't even imagine today?
It is justified. It is also not justified. So I'll tell you both sides of it. First, let me tell you why it's not justified. Because of the constraints the API has to work in, not knowing whether it has SSL or not, not being able to support OAuth 2, and most importantly, not being able to provide a canonical resource location that third parties can integrate for people wanting to post to WordPress, right? Third parties are going to have to, if they want to support this REST API plugin, which hopefully someday is in core, they still have to support different versions, different endpoint URLs, lots of things that probably mean that this API will not be used that much for something like YouTube posting to WordPress. WordPress or Pat posting to WordPress or some of those features that we love in other apps. Even for login, it would be a little bit tricky because the way authentication is currently slated to work. So that said, for developers, though, I think it could be completely huge and revolutionary. So the fact that you can install this plugin and that fixes the API version that you're working with, and you can build entire applications against it in a very decoupled way, that I think is super, super powerful. And actually an area where is an advantage of it being a plugin and not being core, because the plugin can maintain the sort of version of the API it supports indefinitely as long as you run that version of the plugin. So there are some advantages there. I know they don't plan to do that forever, but it I think that we have a lot of ways to go in the benefits of WordPress while it's still on the plugin stage. Then someday I hope that it might even be version 3 of the API, version 4, but there's something that we choose to bring in the core. I could also see a world where we consider it primarily a developer tool. So it's a canonical plugin that we promote very heavily, but is always going to be a plugin because it gives it more flexibility.
Oh, so even if the API is merged in the core, which might happen this year, might happen next year, it will still, its primary development won't be smashing tickets away on track. It'll actually still be maintained in that plugin.
We'll see. If it was in core, of course, it would be in the core track. But okay. I think that, it's been a while since we've talked about canonical plugins. But if there ever was a better candidate for canonical plugins, it might be the REST API.
Okay, cool. You're here to hear it first, folks.
So what's the most, just give me an, this is not set in stone or anything, but to put it in perspective, I mean, yeah, we could talk about propulsion systems all we want and things like that, but ultimately we want the sizzle. So what is this, what does the REST API do in terms of, are we going to get flying cars out of this? What happens with what happens once we get it? I mean, what will we be able to make from a layman's perspective?
I think that's where there might be a little bit of hype. And that's, like I said, third-party integrations and things like that out of the box will still not be as smooth as you might be used to, logging in with Facebook or logging in with Twitter to integrate something. So that will still be just a multi-step process or require the site's owner to go through some extra steps. So where it really gets amazing, though, is when it's combined with something else. So imagine a future Happy Tables, for example, where they don't modify WP admin at all. They just create a custom bespoke interface that talks purely over the REST API instead of trying to hack everything in WP admin. So I think the REST API is the beginning of WP Admin becoming just one of many clients for managing WordPress. So think of WP Admin as our PHP plus HTML plus JavaScript client. And I think that you will see native clients. I think you will see pure JavaScript clients. I think you'll see other PHP, HTML, JS clients, perhaps in the style of Happy Tables, or some of the other verticals that have sprung up around WordPress, do really interesting things. So it kind of makes the admin something that you can replace as easily as you can replace a theme.
It's great that you say that, because I remember you on stage at the State of the Word saying, maybe we don't need all these different admin themes. Maybe we need something that where you can create 1,000 different admin themes, and the REST API is that thing.
Exactly. Oh, very good memory.
So in terms of the problem that I presented earlier with WooCommerce and having people in the back of a warehouse being able to access it, REST API would potentially solve that problem by creating a whole new kind of back end for just that role.
Totally. And in fact, Woo includes a pretty cool API that folks have already done things like that with.
All right. And in some cases, if you want to see this in action in terms of an alternate posting interface, just check out WordPress.com. It's a new Dash project. It's actually all powered by the WordPress.com REST API, correct?
Yeah, we're doing some experiments there, and hopefully we'll have more to show later in the year.
Yeah, I want to know where I can get me one of those beep beep boop hoodies.
That's a good question. I don't even think I have one.
I met my personal friend, Justin Shreve. He was in town one day. He's an automatic engineer, and he had one on. I go, beep, beep, boop, and I initially generated rage inside of me, but then I said, no, it's okay, it's cool. But great stuff going on there. I have one more question for you, and we'll wrap it up. We talked about this. I think it was at the WordCamp San Francisco State of the Word 2013 that you had mentioned this. It was the first idea, and I think Bo Labons actually did a presentation on it. I wrote about it on the Tavern, and since then, we've received several comments from people over the last few months wondering what's going on, and that is the status of O2, which is supposed to be the successor to P2. So I just wanted to get a straight shoot answer as to what's going on.
So you can use O2 on WordPress.com today. I believe it's a theme that you can choose. So if you want to check it out and use it, please do. It is a big improvement on P2. We decided, you're asking a lot about the stuff we stopped working on. Automatic is now with Woo 380 people. But one of the big things is, for example, why did we never tackle e-commerce ourselves prior to this acquisition? Well, it's even with 325 people that we had before, we find you do a really world-class, amazing job at our core products. We had to trim a lot of the extra stuff that was going on the side. So it was tough because we obviously really love O2 and believe that it could be a really great tool for distributed companies in particular. We decided that the team was better to work on some of the core things we're doing at WordPress.com. So it's one of the hardest things, but that's where I think great design comes from, actually, is when you say no to 1,000 things, including the things that you really loved or that you really wanted to do. Because saying no to the lame stuff is easy, but saying no to something that you really believe in, like I believe in O2, is much, much, much harder. But that focus is just crucial for creating great products. And so we've really narrowed everything down in Automatic to 4 focuses the entire company is working on. And with the acquisition of Woo, we have added a 5th focus. So in the entire company, 380 people, we're only working on 5 things.
Hmm. Interesting.
And those 5 things are largely centered around our core products. So they really all come down to basically 3 things, which is WordPress.com, Jetpack, and now WooCommerce.
Right. Those would have been my first 3 guesses. Jetpack for sure. So what about open source and any of the work with O2, just putting it out there as a theme? I think I asked a question about that, and I was told that there's just too much inside of it that's tied to WordPress.com or it wouldn't work.
Yeah, and just like any theme on WordPress.com, you can find the code if you look at the WPCOM themes SVN directory. But it's not really to the point where it's useful to run in a non-WordPress.com environment.
Okay. Well, that's... So that's.
It's open source, but it's not encouraged for download.
Right. Well, that's pretty much all the questions I had for this round of WordPress Weekly with Matt Mulloway. But
interesting note to end on because so much of what's made WordPress successful, core WordPress as well, is what we haven't done. There's a million directions we could have gone in. Trying to redo everything to be object-oriented or big rewrites or stuff like that. And we've always tried to focus on what's the lowest hanging fruit, what are the biggest user benefits for the smallest amount of work, and then strategically taking on some big projects that we know will take years and years small, but that they'll be worthwhile at the end. Are now close to 10-year investment in TinyMCE, I think, is a testament to that. Like, editing has gotten a lot better, especially in the past few years. And that's been because we've been now working with TinyMCE for the better part of a decade.
And one of the big things with WordPress is the decision, sort of like the core philosophy, to support backwards compatibility, which certain other software projects out there don't want to have really anything to do with backwards compatibility. I think that's helped WordPress a lot, too, in terms of maintaining a large amount of market share.
Totally. And now we're moving away from backwards compatibility to just having everything upgraded all the time. It'll be so much better.
You know, it's funny because we have I had some people submit questions and say, "Ask Matt, is there any way we can not update so often? Can WordPress be like fixed to the point where we don't have to update, you know, every other week or so often?" And then you tell them, "Well, why don't you just turn on automatic updates and then you've just eliminated update fatigue?" And they go, "Well, I don't want automatic updates." So it's like you can't win.
Yeah, I would say that expect many, 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 many more updates in the future. So if updates are not your thing, you should probably use different software because we're going to be updating more and more as we mature.
So, Matt, it was a pleasure having you on the show, especially on this day, WordPress's 12th birthday. This is great. I feel like the WordPress planets and stars have aligned. I had an awesome time. I definitely would like to have you on the show later this year and not wait 2 years before I bring you back on again because there's so much stuff to talk about. But thank you for your time and enjoy your trip, your business trip out there in Dublin, Ireland.
Hey, and also, let's just happy birthday to WordPress.
Yes.
It was really fun celebrating with y'all. I hope everyone listening along can raise a Coca-Cola or a Dr. Pepper or a libation or have some cake or something. Celebrate this amazing thing that we've all built together.
I'm actually toasting and saying happy birthday, drinking my favorite beer right now. So
there you go.
That's my ode to WordPress. And Marcus, any final words before we let Matt go?
Well, Matt, I just want to let you know that I've been using WordPress now 10 years, 8 months, and counting. And like all of the rest of the people that I talked to on Facebook and Twitter when we kind of reached out and had them prompted them for some questions. A majority of them, and I'd say 75% of them, just wanted me to say thank you to you for your guidance, your leadership, your creation, and everything that's happened over the last 12 years. So I want to express my appreciation on their behalf, and I wish you at least 12 more.
That's just getting started.
We got a long ways to go. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffR0, and Marcus.
Find me at my website, MarcusCouch.com, and on Twitter, at MarcusCouch.
And that's going to do it for this edition of WordPress Weekly. Next Wednesday, I will be at Marcus Couch's house. Yes. So that'll be crazy in California, and we're going to try and do an episode there while we're in the same
physical location. That's my contribution to WordPress. It's using my shower.
Awesome. So I can't wait, and Marcus and I will be at WordCamp Orange County next weekend, and we'll give you a live report the Wednesday after that. So everybody have an enjoyable, safe rest of the week, and talk to you soon.